Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
A Radio.com sports station. Two Wisconsin guys talking Wisconsin sports in the morning. Broadcasting live on the Radio.com app. 1250 AM and 105.7 FM The Fan. It's time for Chuck and Winkler in the Morning. Live from the Bryant and Stratton Bobcat Studios.
Up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. I'm Bart Winkler. That's Ryan Horvath. Chuck Freeman back next week. We'll talk plenty of NFL today. We're now 49 days away. Some over-unders to get to today. Aaron Rodgers chatting about his new head coach we'll get to today. A lot coming up here on the show. A couple of things that you may check when you first wake up. You may want to know what's going on at the British Open. Actually, it's not the British Open. It's the Open, but we still... I'll call it the British because there's also the U.S. Open, but this one is the Open and whatever, it's a whole thing. It's at Northern Ireland, you know, a home course for Rory McIlroy, so a lot of people taking him to be the favorite to win this thing. What did he do? He had a quadruple bogey on the first hole, Horvath?
Yeah, he hit it out of bounds on right off the tee, right out of bounds. So Rory. I hope you're having a better morning than Rory is right
Rory.
Now.
Rory!
And that's his course, man. That's where he was dominating at like the age of 13 years old. I could go out there and quadruple bogey. So that gives me some confidence towards my game. But yeah, he was the number one. Everybody's betting Rory, obviously, in his homeland. But anytime anything looks too good to be true, it usually is.
Rory right now is plus 5 through 6. So he's leveled off a little bit after his quadruple bogey, but he's got a long way to go right now if he even wants to make the cut. Webb Simpson, 5 under through 13, is your leader. Sergio atop the leaderboard through 14. And some of the other names you know, Kevin Kisner, Alex Noren, Shane Lowry. So, I mean, we still got a few guys left to tee off, but for the most part, the story coming out of the morning right now is Rory's having a rough one. I do like this one. It's, you know, bright and early.
Yeah.
I like it better during the week because obviously we're up and we can throw on some golf. The weekend, though, I finally started bed about 10:30 after my wife's been up for 3 hours and there's cold eggs on the stove.
Mm-hmm.
And then, oh, everybody's on hole 13 already. But I do like this one. I like that the golf tournaments, they're a little different. You had the U.S. Open in prime time on Sunday this year. And now you've got this one that you can wake up and check the score right away. Maybe sneak a computer screen at work or something today if you're really interested in this.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, 1 a.m. golf is always a good time. I texted Freems actually last night around 9:30, and I said, you're a genius. Because if you take off the first 2 days of the NCAA tournament, boom. And then if you take off the Open, like, if you have to take vacation or staycation, you're going to sit around the house. Maybe this is because I hate traveling. Like, this is the perfect time to do it. NCAA tournament and then right now. Because I like this tournament because maybe it's the gambling side of me because now you can play all these head-to-head matchups. Yeah, but I love these head-to-head first-round matchups. Like right now, I got Matt Wallace over Patrick Reed.
Maybe it's the gambling side of me, but I bet on Matt Wallace.
Well, I got him, and listen to this. So I got Matt Wallace like plus 130. So I got really good odds, and then all of a sudden, everybody's with me. Everybody in Las Vegas. So Wallace all the way down now to minus 130. Over Patrick Reed. So I don't know. I usually get scared when all the sharps start backing what I'm taking in Vegas. But that's what I like is these head-to-head matchups.
Oh, Reed's the guy I got.
You got Reed?
Well.
Oh, so we're going to be going against each other all day already.
Well, I didn't do a head-to-head, but when I go on these websites and, you know, have a little fun money and play a little slots.
Yeah.
And then get decimated. Once I get down to like a dollar or two, instead of cashing it out all the way down to zero, I'll throw it on a long shot future.
That's the way to do it, right.
So that's how I... What did I win that was bogus? I won the Warriors on some bogus night. No, when the Suns beat the Warriors this season.
Yeah.
They were like plus 1,000. And I'm like, Chuck, I took the Warriors plus 1,000. He goes, ooh, or the Suns plus 1,000. What? No, actually, I threw a dollar on it because I was just trying to make 10 bucks back. So I had like a $1.20, so I threw it on Patrick Reed to win like 200.
Yeah, that's the way to do it.
He's got no chance.
Yeah, that's the way to do it, though.
So where I threw it on Reed.
Every once in a while, see, that's at least, I feel like a little bit more of a degenerate because when I'm down to like a dollar or two in my account, I'll go to like Japanese baseball.
Oh, no, I've done that.
And I'll find like the Shanghai Sharks, and they'll be like plus 1,200. I'll be like, hey, they got to win one of these, right?
It's 11 o'clock. Oh, there's a tennis match going on in Russia. There's a U-17 soccer game going on in Qatar.
And then I'll wake up at like 3 a.m. to go to the bathroom, and I'll just be like, oh, let's see what the Sharks did. And I'll see they lost like 13-1.
Yeah. Man. And your account's like, you are stupid. We don't even want to take this money.
You actually owe us. You're negative in your account.
You're so stupid.
But man, with Rory, like, that's the thing. Just so much pressure. I knew that there was just going to be way too much pressure going home. Everybody's rooting for the guy. And yeah, when you look at those odds, it's like, I'd rather take a shot on a long shot. Because how often also are these guys that are favored actually winning tournaments anymore? I mean, other than Koepka, like, I feel like throwing money down on Koepka is always a good investment. You know, but I always look for the long shots. And you always got to, like, sprinkle in a little bit on Phil, a little bit on Tiger, like your favorites that you're going
to
be rooting for.
I got down to about $2. I threw it on Phil. He is plus +3 last I saw.
Phil's been rough lately.
So he's...
The CBD gummies not helping Phil.
He's struggling too. But Rory McIlroy, I mean, yeah, the pressure may have got to him right away with the quadruple bogey. He's 5 over through 6. And your leader right now is Webb Simpson. So Nick Bodie on the updates. He'll keep you updated all throughout the day on what's going on at the British. We will talk about the Brewers. They won a series yesterday, 5-4 the final against Atlanta. And we've got to hear some stuff that Aaron Rodgers had to say. We'll get to all that coming up. Ryan Horvath, Nick Bodie, Bart Winkler, Chuck and Winkler here on The Fan.
Now, it's Chuck and Winkler's Brew Crew Review, brought to you by Bofording Beer. Bofording is Milwaukee's smooth drinking import. Try it at your nearest Total Wine location. This is the only station Brewers fans need. Sports Radio, 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. I'm Bart Winkler, that's Ryan Horvath. Aaron Rodgers, very open with Chris Sims on a golf course. We'll hear from Rodgers after 7 o'clock here this morning. Rob Reichel with Forbes.com will join us at 8:05 to talk about the latest things that Rodgers talked about and his admiration, more of it, about watching some of these other teams on offense and being a bit jealous. And hopefully this new head coach will alleviate some of that jealousy. That coming up after 7, Rob Reichel at 8. Talking some Brewers now, as look at that. They got a win yesterday, 5-4 the final over Atlanta. You knew it was going to be a little different when Manny Pena took Dallas Keuchel deep. Dallas Keuchel, a guy that we've talked about a lot, maybe we wanted. Manny Pena, a guy that is always like the last guy we remember is on this roster. Brewers go up 2-0 in the second. They add 3 more in the sixth, an inning which they hit for the cycle in reverse. A home run, a triple, a double, and then a single. The Brewers did that as a team. It's 5-0. Josh Hader comes in the ninth, gives up a couple of runs, but he is able to lock it down. And 5-4 the final. So Brewers get the win yesterday. They improved to 50-47. Still in the thick of it. 2.5 back of the Cubs. But good to see them, Horvath, at least get a series victory, which has been eluding them for quite some time.
Yeah, absolutely, and especially against a team like the Braves. I mean, we were all freaking out after the series loss to the Giants, but then you go ahead and you look, and the Giants right in the thick of things, so good call by you.
Oh, you're going to bring up the Giants?
Yeah, I don't want to do the Giants review yet. Let's save that for the 8 a.m. hour, but man, I've lost a lot of money on the Giants in the past week, so I feel like I have to bring them up, right?
I think that's why Chuck took off a couple days, because I won't stop talking about the San Francisco Giants.
I don't know why everybody's acting like the Giants like coming back to at least get a wild card spot would be the biggest shock in baseball. Because isn't this what the Giants do? They're always like this gritty team, no names. Like Tim Lincecum was like their biggest name. He's 5'3". But you go ahead and you look and it's like, man, it's like the same dudes, like Buster Posey. And it seems like Buster Posey's like 39
Brandon
years old.
Brandon Crawford.
But you forget how young Brandon Buster Belt. Posey was. He just had that gruesome injury, you know, that set him back a couple of years. But I would not be shocked if the Giants, like you look at the standings right now, and it's not just the Giants. Some team is going to falter. Somebody's going to choke down the stretch. I think it's going to be the Twins. The Indians are four back now in that division. You know, I think the Nationals, I think, are going to be one of the top teams come the end of the season. I think we see this every single year. That's why I didn't get people freaking out and talking about buying and selling, because at this point last season, Brewers were what, 6.5 games back of the Cubs? You never know what's going to happen, especially with the Cubs when you play every game mainly. I mean, it's your ballpark outside. Games get rained out, and they go through a stretch maybe like last year where they had to play like 31 games in 32 days or something like that.
Well, that's why, too, these couple of weeks are so important, and we've been talking about this, and some of you buy it and some of you don't, but these 2 weeks, I mean, you're going to determine who the buyers and sellers are, and there's going to be a lot of teams, I think, that are thinking that they can buy, which means there's going to be less teams that can sell. And the reason that I've been so obsessed with the Giants is because they've got two attractive pieces mm-hmm. in Madison Bumgarner and then Will Smith. And even if you're somebody who thinks, well, Bumgarner, he's kind of a jerk, whatever, but Will Smith is attractive.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, still, those are two guys that are attractive on the market. They could get packaged together as well if one of these teams has a deep enough farm system. But if you have a team like that that's winning, then at some point they're going to think, well, why are we selling when we're doing pretty good? Giants have won like 13 of 15 games.
Mm-hmm.
So I do kind of fixate on them a little bit. And I'm probably doing people a disservice because I'm a diehard Brewers fan. I've been a Brewers fan all my life. Yet right now on this day, I just want to talk about the Giants so bad because I've been watching every Brewer game. And I've also been watching every Giants game because I've got the free extra innings package this week with it being after the All-Star break.
Yeah.
But yeah, you look at some of these races and they are tightening up a little bit. We were talking about the NL Central and every team within 4.5 games at the break. That one's sort of extending with the Cubs beating up on the Reds for the last few days. So how things are going in the NL Central with the Brewers' win yesterday. The Cubs are 52-44 in first place. Brewers are 2.5 back. The Cardinals are 3 back.
And here they come.
Yeah, they're kind of mysteriously there. I don't hear a lot about the Cardinals. I also haven't seeked out a lot about the Cardinals, but they're right there.
Historically, we should be paying attention, I feel, a little bit more to the Cardinals. It's just they've sucked the last couple of years, so we've taken a back seat on them.
Well, right, but we know that, but still, the moment you start to discount them, like I think we started to this month,
then they win the World Series.
Yeah, that's the moment.
They trade Pujols or let Pujols walk, and then yeah, they win a World Series.
Pirates have slipped to 6.5 back, and the Reds getting beat up by Chicago the last couple of nights, 7.5 back. Some of the other races you were talking about, the NL West, that's the Dodgers. They're 14 up the next team, which is the Diamondbacks.
They're so good.
So, you know, I talk about the Giants. We can talk about the Padres, Rockies, or Diamondbacks. They're all in the wild card race. But the Dodgers should win that division. Out east, the Braves in control. 6.5 game lead over the Nationals. That one could tighten up. A lot of people around baseball do love the Nationals to maybe make a run. And things are tightening up in the divisions all over the American League East, where the Yankees are still in command, but 6 games up on the Rays. The Astros are in command in the AL West, but the A's are hot. They've won 6 in a row. They're just 4.5 back. And then in the Central, as you mentioned, the Twins, which have been like the success story in baseball in 2019. You've got the Indians, who a lot of people were talking about as sellers. And still, you're looking at names like Trevor Bauer on the market. And the Indians are 14 games over 500, 4 back at their division.
Mm-hmm.
So how is a team like the Brewers sellers and then the Indians? I mean, how is a team like the Brewers buyers, but then the Indians sellers? I don't know what's going on there.
I feel like this
they're not going to be sellers.
Is this like the NBA season where this year, like, there's so much parity, but the top teams are just so much better than the teams in the middle of the pack? Like, the Yankees are tremendous. The Red
yeah.
Sox, they're having a down year for Boston, and they're
still 8 over.
Right, that's what I mean, and they're still you know, better than most of the teams in the National League, I would say. And then the Dodgers are just so damn good, and the Braves are so good that it's like, man, should this be a year you sell? Like, do you think that's what's going on? Like, every year you're like, okay, it's going to be the Warriors and it's going to be LeBron in the finals for, like, the last, you know, 4 years, 5 years before this year. So do you think everybody's like, ah, we're not catching these teams, so.
I think the argument is exactly that. And
this is
what we've talked about when we've talked about, you know, them being a seller. And we'll talk to Andrew Wagner with the Associated Press around 9:20 because we were all at the game yesterday and him and I were sort of having that discussion that you've got to try to realize what you're playing for. And if you're playing for a World Series, those teams, the gap is so large, I think,
yeah.
And you think, and mm-hmm. I think a lot of people think, between the Dodgers and the Brewers or the Yankees and maybe even the Twins or the A's or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the gap between the Yankees and the Dodgers and the rest of the league seems pretty substantial. In basketball, people would be like, yes, if you're going to go for the 8th seed or the 7th seed or the 6th seed, don't, you know, completely sell out because you've got to build for next year. The Clippers actually were sellers with Tobias Harris, acquired some assets, which helped them then get Paul George and then lock in Kawhi Leonard. So
Last
year, they were in it, but they also sold. And they, you know, took the Warriors a few games deep, but they were never truly in it last year for the NBA championship. In baseball right now, what we're getting pushback on is, well, you get to the tournament, anything can happen. And in baseball, it's different than some of these other sports. And maybe it's not as extreme in basketball. I mean, in basketball, the best team wins a 7-game series every single time except for one, when the Raptors beat the Bucks.
Oh,
that was
yeah.
only because Mirotic shot worse than Fred VanVleet. But in baseball, I don't buy into that. I think the gap between the Dodgers and the Brewers is so strong, and it would come down to the pitching, and the Dodgers would pitch right through us. And so I would almost still look at the Brewers if they decided to be sellers. I mean, I'm not going to be – they'll still compete.
Mm-hmm.
I just think the Brewers might right now have to look, is next year a better shot or is this year the better shot?
See, and we say that as fans, but like yesterday I'm in the clubhouse, in the Braves clubhouse, and every single person in that clubhouse is talking about, well, that's a really good team. Like, I could see this team rattling off 10, 11 wins straight and being a World Series contender. And when you hear a team like the Braves, a top team in their division, say things like that, then you start to think like maybe it is an overreaction because we just talked about the standings. We talked about the Indians and the Nationals, and it's like maybe everybody's like right there, but it's just baseball, and it's crazier than ever with analytics and with you're not playing the same lineup every single day. Like, we saw it yesterday. Like, pitching has just changed so much because I thought Chase was – I mean, he had the three walks. Yeah, he struck out three, but he allowed, what, one hit? And he goes 5 1/3? So it's like pitchers aren't going as deep. Nobody's going 7-8 innings, and then everybody hates their bullpen. Like, every single team hates their bullpen. Like, the Cubs have – Craig Kimbrell now, but they also have Pedro Strop, and I don't know if they trust him in the eighth inning because every time he goes up out there, he's giving up runs. Josh Hader's giving up runs.
Yeah,
Jeremy
Jefferson
can't
really
trust.
I don't know how much I trust Josh Hader.
That's what I'm saying. It's like nobody trusts their bullpen right now, and I think that's going to change a little bit in August. Like, the top teams will start to pull away a little bit, and we'll see some different things. But I get what Council's doing, especially with the analytics side, with pulling a guy like Chase in the fifth, or if a guy's spots due up in the batting order. But at the same time, these guys are going to start to have to give you, I think, at least 6-7 innings because you have the bullpen just not to be trusted right now. That's when I hear a name like Will Smith. That excites me a little bit more right now than Madison Bumgarner, just because I think that changes the way you use Josh Hader, obviously. And you don't have to rely on guys like Matt Albers. Like, there's a good chance and then we don't have to see Albers the rest of the season if you bring in a guy like Will Smith, who had like 24 consecutive saves at one point.
Well, yeah, and, you know, they're going to have to make those decisions going forward. 5-4 the victory yesterday for the Crew, where they do get to Dallas Keuchel. Good outing from Chase Anderson, too. Should mention him, 5 2/3. Walks a few, but just one hit in his time out there, 3 strikeouts. He had 94 pitches when they pulled him, wanted to get him out for the Josh Donaldson matchup. Freddy Peralta comes in. He has a good outing. Junior Guerra gives up a couple of runs, and then Josh Hader gives up a couple that were unearned, but still did have 2 cross the plate on his watch, and he is suddenly, it's save number 21 of the year for him, but suddenly he's not a sure thing anymore, or he's more of like a, the Jeremy Jeffress outings as of late is come in when you're up three, you end up winning by one. And that's kind of what's been happening with Josh Hader.
I feel like he's just saving the slider, or else nobody's calling the slider. And so not to say that people have figured out Hader, but if you get a hold of one, I mean, you know what he's throwing. He's throwing a four-seamer, he's throwing a two-seamer. So if he leaves it up high, like, you know what you're looking for. So guys are going to have some success, but I still love Josh Hader in the series against the Cubs because there's only one guy in that lineup that could hit Josh Hader, and that's Anthony Rizzo, who's struggling right now. He hasn't homered in over a month. So I still do like Hader against the top teams in the division. Also, right now, I feel like you're just kind of in that funk. Like, it's not the middle of the season. You just got back from All-Star break. Some of these teams may be overlooking some of these teams. Maybe that's how the Giants are winning so many games and why the Indians are winning so many games and why the Angels just took a couple from the Astros. But I don't know. You are seeing a lot of positives right now. One thing mainly is Keston Hira. I mean, in that series, 8 of 11, two doubles again yesterday. I think, and people were telling KJ from West Dallas shot me a message yesterday, and he said if Hira played the full season, I think he'd be the favorite for Rookie of the Year, and I have to agree with that. I mean, he's a professional hitter. And so I think you have a lot of good right now with this team. But even in the win yesterday, like, that's that comfortable 5-0 lead, and then it's a 5-4 game just like that in the ninth inning, and you and I are looking at futures to maybe bet against the Brewers on the live line because you just can't trust the bullpen right now. And that's the only scary thing. Like, the offense finally comes through. They produce some runs. They get guys on base. Guys step up, like the unsung heroes, Manny Pena. Orlando gets a hit yesterday. And then all of a sudden, though, you can't trust anybody in that bullpen. So that's the scariest part right now, is while things are coming together, you still have the main concerns. Even when you do get a series win, it's like, man, I don't know who I trust right now.
Chase Anderson, after the game, was asked about Keston Hira, and this answer is very interesting.
Just to see his swing and how short it is to the ball and how he gets the ball so hard to right center field is super impressive for such a young guy. I mean, I remember when he got drafted and he came over here and hit BP with our team and was crushing balls in the opponent's bullpen. I was like, wow, this guy's going to be up here pretty quick, and shoot, 9 or 2 years later, he's in the big league.
He also at one point said, I can't believe he ever got sent down.
Yeah. Oh, did he really say that?
Yeah, and I edited the audio, and I guess I didn't cut that part, so that's what I thought I was about to play. So I should go find that.
Well, it's funny because they were asking everybody in the in the Braves clubhouse yesterday the same question about Keston Hira, and they were like, man, our people really liked him too. You know, we wanted him. At first, everybody was like, who? Because he's not a household name yet, but then you're like, oh man, that could get hit. He just went 8 for 11 in a series against some top pitching. And even Keuchel yesterday.
I really bungled that one. I thought I had the soundbite.
Soundbite?
I'm the one that cut it. I'm the one that was in the locker room. I'm the one that saved the soundbite. I'm the one that went to play it.
Hey, at least we'll go back and use that at some point. Here I am talking to Dallas Keuchel and everybody in the Braves clubhouse, and I'm like, nobody's ever going to hear any of this. What am I doing in here?
Do you want to hear from Dallas Keuchel?
You know, I really don't, actually, but I will tell you this story. I hated Dallas Keuchel. You know those guys that you just watch? Like Craig Kimbrell. Like John Lackey. Growing up, I was like, man, I hate this guy. Like, I can't stand him. But then you meet him, or you get the chance to interview him. Even Machado, and I hate to say this, and I don't want to be crucified because of it, but like, I still don't like Manny Machado, don't get me wrong. Like, sometimes you talk to these guys one-on-one, you get the opportunity, and you're like, man, he's actually kind of a cool guy. I think he just plays this role. And if I was a athlete, I'd probably play the sports villain myself. But yeah, Keuchel, I thought, was actually a pretty cool guy.
Here's Dallas Keuchel on his outing against Milwaukee.
Thank you.
Kind of teetering on the edge here for a while. Was very fortunate to even get to the sixth. I feel like I really didn't have
good mic control.
Too good a command with the fastball away. I was behind on a lot of guys.
Oh, I heard a little rustling.
After the third, and just couldn't corral it together there in the sixth. I think I ran out of gas.
Dallas, who do you think's going to win American Idol?
little thump in there I heard at the end, buddy.
Somebody bumped into me. True story. So the girl from Fox Sports Atlanta was like getting sick in the clubhouse. She was like coughing. And she's like, oh, sorry, it's just so hot in there. And I was like, no, I feel you. I mean, it was humid. It was a very humid day, but I was a little worried that she was going to faint and I was going to have to play hero or something. So I think she just bumped into me at that point.
Yeah, Miller Park yesterday had that nice, it wasn't super bad. The worst it gets is when a storm comes in and then it rains and then they close the roof and then they don't open it and it's very hot. But I was doing a little walking around during the game, and that Miller Park BO was coming out and wafting through the... Yeah. The sections.
Yeah.
No more distinguishable Milwaukee smell than the Miller Park BO of the second deck on a hot summer day.
Smelling like a grade school locker room.
It's Chuck and Winkler. We're served up by Perkins. Nick Bode on the updates. Ryan Horvat here. We will bring you the Chase Anderson soundbite. And not only was he talking about Keston Hira, Christian Yelich was too. And there's a mutual respect between those guys, which was really cool to see yesterday. It's Chuck and Winkler. More on the Brewers. Again, Aaron Rodgers speaking. We'll hear from him after 7 o'clock. Chuck and Winkler here on The Fan. Served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries from the Bryant-Stratton College Athletic Studios. I'm Bart Winkler. That is Ryan Horvat. Good morning to you. Chuck will be back next week. If you're waking up trying to figure out what's going on in golf, well, first of all, yeah, there's golf right now. The Open Championship, a.k.a. the British, is underway, and Rory McIlroy is not doing good. He was a favorite coming into this. This is his home course. He is plus... He was plus five. He's picked up a couple strokes, I think, Mr. Rory. Oh, plus four. He had a quadruple bogey on the first hole, so that's no good out in Northern Ireland. Here's what I wanted to play for you before. We asked Chase Anderson about Keston Hira. Actually, Caitlin Sharkey had the question from Fox 6.
What's it been like to watch Keston kind of in this series?
I don't know why we sit him down, honestly. That guy has been unbelievable.
So I thought that was a little interesting that he actually said that.
Yeah, he's kind of an open book, Chase, in the clubhouse. That's why I really do like his interviews. I said, man, I think I cover every single Chase Anderson start, six consecutive at home at Miller Park. And sometimes those games take a little bit longer than usual, but he's always a good quote after the game.
Well, yeah, I mean, to be open and honest about how I can't believe we sent him down. And look, there were people that when Keston got sent down, the Brewers lost 16-0 right away. And then they went on a skid and people were wondering if, you know, it ruined clubhouse chemistry, which is probably going a little too far. But, you know, when you've got a guy like that rolling and you send him down, those other guys in the clubhouse are like, well, what the hell?
Right, especially when you got guys in the lineup that are betting like 182.
I know. Tyler Saladino had a pop fly to the warning track yesterday, and it, like, the Brewers counted it as a hit because they felt so bad for him, how bad he's been.
Is he the worst player in Major League Baseball?
Ah, no.
Offensively.
He's really caught in that 4A role, though. He's really caught in the... because he was... they brought him up for his defense a little bit, but also he was tearing it up in the minors. He was hitting like 360.
Yeah. I mean, Travis Shaw's tearing it up in the minors. Christian Wood was averaging like 55 points and 30 rebounds in the D-League or G-League, whatever the hell it's called these days. But I see what you're saying.
Hey, watch. Why are you bringing up Christian Wood, bro?
I see what you're saying.
Signing with the Pistons. So they've now got Tim Frazier.
Derek Rowe. Oh, you're talking former Bucks.
Yeah, Tim Frazier, Thon Maker, Tony Snell, Christian Wood.
Yep, I can't wait to watch that pick and roll between Derek Rose and Thon Maker and Derek Rose and your boy Christian Wood.
Well, my question is, with the Tyler Saladino thing, like, is he just talking to Keston Hira after Hira finishes the series out like 10 for 12 with four homers? He's like, dude, can you take it easy a little bit? That's like getting hired with a new guy and he wins Employee of the Month and you've showed up late four times this week. You're like, give me a break, dude. Come on.
Or getting hired with seven new guys if you're working here at the Fan.
Yep. Yeah, Bodie got hired in the class where we hired everybody who's ever walked in this building.
Yeah, he's like my freshman class in
high
school.
How are your 5 hours a week going?
Yeah, they're like, yeah, we got five guys who have real journalism degrees. I'm like, but can they tell you if Wisconsin will beat Purdue?
Bodie, you're our second Badger guy. If Ben Wergel's ever sick, we'll give you a call.
You and Joel have to arm wrestle for
I'll be
it,
Ben's
though.
Backup, yeah.
Yeah, no, Bodie did the Badger win-loss last week, and I said, he should cover games, and then Radio Joe comes in here. I'm still covering games. There are some Saturdays. There's a game against Northwestern.
I can't make Western Michigan, but Penn State, Michigan, Michigan State.
I can't make Holy Cross.
Yep.
But I've got my schedule cleared for Ohio State and Michigan State.
You could have Joliet Junior College. Carol.
Yeah. They are playing West Dallas Hale one night in a scrimmage. You can cover that one. And I'll do the other ones. I got the other ones. Okay, Joe. Thank you very much. But yeah, with the Brewers with Keston Hira, he did have a great series. The official line 8 for 11, a home run, 3 doubles, a triple, 4 runs, and then 4 RBI just in that series alone against the Braves. Christian Yelich talking about Keston Hira immediately after the game.
He's got a really short swing, but I think it's more of just him being a really good hitter, and when really good hitters get locked in, they can rattle off a bunch in a row, and that was big for us. So, you know, he had a huge series, and I need to continue to do that. But yeah, he's really talented. I think he's starting to get acclimated to the big leagues and how they're going to attack him, and he's done a great job so far.
One thing that the Brewers did yesterday, too, was they hit for the cycle in the sixth inning as a team, and they did it in reverse order. They hit in reverse order officially. Christian Yelich had a homer in the sixth. Then Braun tripled, then Hira doubled, then Manny Pena had a signal, and I'm not sure if that's ever happened before. Where teams have hit for the cycle before, and maybe teams have hit consecutively for the cycle, but to do it in reverse order, I don't know if that's ever happened before. That was an interesting feat. You know, if you go to the ballpark, you're always going to see something new, and that's something that certainly I had not seen before.
Yeah, no, I don't believe I've ever seen that either, and. Yeah, and the offense just looked so damn good yesterday. I feel like the Brewers, especially this season, I think they're like 38-15 or something like that when they score first. And you could say, well, no crap, obviously. That's usually the way that baseball goes, whoever gets off to the lead. But I felt like last year, and I'd have to go back and check the stat, but I felt like the Brewers were always playing from behind. Or, you know, even if a team would get out to like a 3-0, 4-0 lead on them, I'd be like, okay, they're going to come back and win this game. And I guess that's why it was such a magical season. But this year, I feel like, for them to win, they really have to get off to a start and put pressure on right away, especially when you got guys only going 5-6 deep and you can't really trust the bullpen. But Keston Hira, I mean, imagine what he would do in a full season at Miller Park. Like I said that about Mike Moustakas, and I kind of joked that he could win a batting title. I did throw out the 40 homers, and everybody was like, oh, that's crazy talk. I'm like, it's a contract year, a full season in Miller Park. You never know. Imagine what Keston Hira will do in 162 games and over 80-plus at Miller Park. Like, I could see him being, what do you think his ceiling is, like 35 homers?
Well, I had the question a couple weeks ago, is he going to have a better career than Ricky Weeks? And I think yes.
Did you get killed for that one?
I got killed by Chuck!
Yeah, I got killed. I'm not really getting killed, but people didn't really like my comment yesterday that Cody Bellinger is the best player in baseball, and I thought I was going to get hassled because I said he was better than Mike Trout, but the Christian Yelich thing, and now they're tied in homers, but... Yeah, nobody was a big fan of that. Or a couple people weren't.
Yelich and Bellinger they're having like the same season.
I hate the argument people are telling me, well, Yelich is better in the outfield. And I'm like, yeah, I mean, I'll make that argument too. But the thing is that Cody Bellinger is a natural first baseman that just got moved out to the outfield. He's 3 years younger. I mean, I would take either of them or Trout. So I wasn't meaning that as a knock. And I may die on that one. I may die on that hill.
Well,
but
no,
they're right there.
I don't think anyone can look at that and say Yelich is way better than Bellinger.
He's 23, 24 only.
First of all, baseball is completely different. I mean, we went through some of the divisions earlier in the show. That may have been the first time you guys have ever heard these other races in the other divisions. Because you're paying attention to the Brewers. That's 3 hours of your night every night. That's 21 hours a week.
3 hours? Chase Anderson's pitching. Then, 6 hours.
Then, okay, maybe you'll try to see how the Cubs are doing. And if the Cubs play at a different time and they're on TV, you might turn that on. Then if you remember to check what the Cardinals are up to, someone maybe tells you about the Reds and Pirates, and that's a lot of baseball information that you're bringing in. Who cares about the AL West? Mm-hmm. If you're like, and that's the problem with baseball, and I don't know how they fix that, because, you know, in football, it's just we're so much, maybe it's fantasy, maybe it's just that there's less games, but at any time throughout the season, you guys like, you know what the standings are in every division.
Right.
Oh, the Raiders are 2-5, and the Chiefs are 4-2, and because they had the bye week in week 7, now they're on the road against the Titans.
Yeah.
And you just know that with football, with baseball. I mean, there's some of you that outside of interleague play may not have seen one pitch of an American League game.
Right.
And we're not scolding you. That's perfectly fine. That happens to us.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's things that happen in baseball all the time that if I wasn't in 7 fantasy leagues, I probably wouldn't know that Trey Mancini had 2 home runs last night. And then you're probably thinking, who in the is Trey Mancini?
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So that's kind of how baseball goes in that department.
And that's their own fault when you think about it, because if you look at the NFL, if you look at the NBA, they do such a good job at not only marketing their players, but even like their crappy teams. Like everybody's always like, well, Anthony Davis is the best player in the NBA, but nobody's ever seen him play because the Pelicans are never on national TV. And I'm like, yeah, but everybody has the league pass, anybody that actually watches the league. Like in the NFL, you most likely have the Sunday ticket or you have the Red Zone channel. Whereas with Major League Baseball,
I don't have the league pass, dude.
You don't have the league pass?
You think everybody has the league pass?
I think no, but I think that guys that are diehard hoops fans, like guys that love the NBA, I think most of them have the league pass. I do. Because
how
if
many
you're like
people
me,
that
because,
listen to this show, you think percentage-wise have the league pass for the NBA?
In Milwaukee, I'm not quite sure, but I mean in Chicago, like when I was going to school at Western Illinois, like everybody had the league pass. We would all be watching the Hornets, and because a lot of the younger players,
well,
I mean, look,
your parents all own boats and stuff.
My dad owned a video store, and we sold it once DVDs came to life because we couldn't afford to buy anything but VHS. My mom's a teacher, so we definitely don't own any boats. I don't even own a home or a car. My wife drops me off every morning. It's embarrassing. I feel like I'm 13 years old. But no, like, I just, you know, I mean, okay, but you would admit that, or agree, I should say, that everybody has the Red Zone channel or the Sunday ticket, right?
No.
Most people do.
I don't.
Wow. This is kind of enlightening to me. But
well, okay, so for Sunday ticket, what I would do is because on DirecTV, it's like $250.
Mm-hmm.
But then if you want Red Zone channel, it's
like
another 150 bucks.
But you could just get the Red Zone channel for like 85 bucks.
No, I can't.
Oh, really?
You can't get Red Zone, or then they have Fantasy Zone channel, which is
that's
like four dudes sitting around.
It's awful.
Giving you Red Zone highlights from 10 minutes ago.
Yeah, and then they cut it off like 3 hours before the games even end.
And then yeah, there's like a big game-winning drive happening, and they go, now let's take a minute to compare Le'Veon and Bill's stats to Maurice Jones-Drew's great season in 2007.
Yeah, I'm like, show me the touchdowns, but I guess that's what the Red Zone
and then one guy's like, oh, I've got Tyreek Hill on my fantasy team. I don't care, man.
Some of those fantasy guys are so weird.
Yeah, so with Red Zone, though, through Verizon, I can get it for $5 a month, but then I can only get it on my phone. And if you try to cast it to your TV, it will say, this is not allowed on those. So on Sundays, typically, I'm on my couch sitting cross-legged, watching, you know, the Cowboys Steelers on 325, and then I've got a little tiny phone in front of me watching the Red Zone, and I've got my headphones hooked up to it so I can hear, and, you know, my wife walks by, and I'm looking like I'm...
like a gamer, right?
Yeah, like I'm crunching data for the government.
Yeah.
Just because I'm trying to squeeze it on my phone. But I do then use my friend's Red Zone password.
All right, I'll change
with league pass, though, I think less than 5% of people in Milwaukee have league pass.
I guess here's what I'm trying to say, okay? If you're a big NBA fan and you want to watch the Pelicans this year, and now maybe they'll be on national TV a little bit more because they had the number one pick, but let's say I just want to watch Zion, or let's say I want to watch Memphis because I want to watch Ja Morant, then I have to get the league pass to do it, right? And so I'm saying that more people that are big hoops fans will do that. NFL fans that want to watch games other than Green Bay, other than the Packers, they're going to get the Sunday tickets so they could watch Andrew Luck. They're going to want to watch, you know, Kyler Murray. How is he going to play in the NFL for Arizona? But I'm saying if you're a huge baseball fan, even if you love baseball more than anything on this planet, you most likely are not watching 12 to 15 hours of baseball in a day. So you don't really need the package, to tell you the truth, because you're just probably watching the Brewers. 4 or 5 hours of baseball per day, per night is probably enough. And so the Major League Baseball screws up because they don't do a good job not only at marketing their own players, guys like Mike Trout or Christian Yelich, but also any team outside of New York, Boston, the Cubs, the Cardinals. It's the same teams
I'll agree with when Freem says that. The same teams every night on Sunday Night Baseball. Every national broadcast. It's always the Yankees. So, yeah, we know Aaron Judge. Like, we know the bigger names, like, in the bigger markets. But, like, the Rays, nobody even knows they're any good this year. The Twins, nobody knows they're any good this year. You know, how often do you see the Indians on national TV? So I guess that's what I was saying, where the NFL and the NBA do a better job at even marketing their mid-level teams because they have bigger names.
Yeah, and I get your point, but also I think that, like, I and we are part of the problem because those games in London were between the Red Sox and Yankees.
Right.
I watched every inning of those games.
No, I mean, I'm guilty of it too. But, like, let's say Josh Bell, huge star right now from Pittsburgh. Let's say he walks into the grocery store and maybe, like, one person would notice him. Whereas if Le'Veon Bell walked in the grocery store, everybody would be like, oh, that's Le'Veon Bell, or that's Antonio Brown, or...
Well, if either of them walked in a grocery store in Whitefish Bay, they'd have the cops called on them.
Like, RG3 would walk in the grocery store and we'd all go nuts.
I think he'd limp into the grocery store, probably.
Who, RG3?
Yeah, he's had, like, 5 ACL surgeries, so...
No, that's a sad story, actually, because I bought all of RG3's apparel and Derrick Rose when the Adidas, like, really was pushing those two, and then both of them had torn ACLs, and I was, like, trying to sell it at Plato's Closet.
Hey, he's still in the league, man.
Do you remember that 2012 Redskins team, and that staff had everyone convinced RG3 was, like, he was the truth, he was going to be the next Michael Vick?
Well, and yeah, had, like, 22 touchdown passes and 5 picks that
year.
Yeah,
and then
QB rating
you
ridiculous.
Look back, Bart, pull up the coaching staff for that 2012 Redskins team. It's like Kyle Shanahan, Sean McVay.
Yeah.
They've got obviously Gruden still there. Literally, like, everyone thought, oh, RG3 is amazing.
Matt LaFleur.
There's
was on that staff. Bodie,
Zach Taylor. There's like 5 future NFL head coaches on that staff. It's insane.
And LaFleur will be the best out of all of them.
I think so, because he's got that run element. They're all pass happy, but I love LaFleur's system, man.
Well, Aaron Rodgers is saying some complimentary things about Matt LaFleur, and we'll hear from Aaron Rodgers. He talked with Chris Sims of NBC Sports. We'll hear from him just after 7 o'clock. Put some polls up on Twitter if you can find them. There's a lot of people still yelling at us for our question yesterday about if you're over the 2014 NFC Championship game. Because yesterday we asked that because I just wanted to know if people were over the 2014 NFC Championship game. It came up in our conversation, and by the amount of people that either said they were going to block our account or did block our account, that confirmed what I was wondering, is that people are not over that game. But we won't touch on that game too much. This is very interesting, Horvat. Right away, here's some of the voting on the polls. Do you subscribe to the League Pass? 21% say yes for the NBA. Do you subscribe to MLB Extra Innings? 7% say yes. Do you subscribe to NFL Sunday Ticket? 3% say yes.
I guess I was off a little bit.
How is that? No, how is NFL the lowest? NFL's the lowest right now.
Yeah, which is crazy because if you look at the top 10 highest rated sporting events this year, it was all football games. And like 4 or 5 of them were all regular season games. I think the Chiefs-Rams, the one where they combined for like 375 points,
yeah,
was number one.
We'll see how these polls hold up again. Voting just started.
And I feel like a lot of these people, like you mentioned yesterday, getting killed for the 2014 NFC Championship question. A lot of guys just like to be negative on Twitter and just vote against. Like, there's probably I guarantee there's 3 people that have the Sunday ticket that are listening right now that voted no, just because some people just like to watch the world burn.
Oh, yeah, I always vote no in polls.
I could see you being that guy, and that's why I say that.
I always vote what is going to rile people up.
Like, I could see Bodie's probably truthful. Like, do you think the Badgers are going to win 12 games this year? As a matter of fact, I do. Then
yeah.
I could see you, even if you truly believe that, just going against the system because you're just a...
I'm not you when I win-loss the schedule. I was like, yeah, we probably won't beat Michigan. And Freem's like, oh, player, I'm going to that game. Better be competitive. I was like, you might want to watch at a bar. Like, stuff's going to go... Meanwhile, Horvat, they're like, so, Ryan, we're going to win-loss the Packers schedule. Week 15, Packers against the 85 Bears. Horvat's like, I think they come in, spread them out. Rodgers picks them apart. I think they got the 85 Bears.
Well, historically, betting against the Bears as a Packers fan has worked out pretty damn good for me, so I'm
like
going to continue to do it.
15-1.
Does Bodie have a slight Horvat impression?
A little bit. We'll do that in the 7 o'clock hour.
Interesting stuff. We are going to hear from Aaron Rodgers, and that is going to be coming up next. Aaron Rodgers talking with Chris Sims. Lots that he had to say about the defense and about Matt LaFleur. So we want to know what Rodgers thinks. How will Rodgers deal with this? How will Rodgers this?
Well, why don't we just have Aaron Rodgers tell you? It's Chuck and Winkler. We'll hear from him next on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.